Welcome to Traveling Inside Out. This is Alina, your host. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the podcast that explores the world within and out. Thank you for subscribing to Traveling Inside Out, wherever you get your podcast from. And if you could rate it on any platform, really, that would really mean a lot to me. Thank you. So today is finally the day when I have the most special guest because I am bringing on my friend of almost 15 years, Andra. Andra, man, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. What an introduction. And it's the first time for me to be in a podcast. It's the first time to be in your podcast. And well, hello to your audience, to whoever's listening or watching us.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm actually taking a break from work so I can be in your podcast. I am where I'm at right now. I'm in Romania, so it's 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So yeah, I've done some work already.
Yeah, so for our listeners, it's only 9 a.m. where I am. So I only went to the gym and breakfast while I already had a full day. And this is something that we'll kind of probably touch on during our conversation, the time difference and how are we keeping in touch with each other, especially since now it's like 7 hours difference. So I kind of want to just jump into it, if that's okay with you. And I want to go back all the way back to our like first time when we met, but before, if you actually remember, because I have to be honest, I don't remember exactly the moment when I met you, but let's just set the set for how did we meet. So I'm just going to say that we both worked on a local television in Cluj. And I'm curious for you to tell me, how did you get that job? Because I'm going to tell you then my story, but I'm curious because I don't remember actually, how did you get the job to work as a producer for the local television back in Cluj, back in 2008, right?
Right. Yeah, it was a while ago. I think I was in my second or third year of university. And so I was studying film and TV, and I never wanted to do television, of course, because we were all trying to become film directors. That's, an ongoing joke because everybody wants to be a film director. But of course, you know, I was a student and life was tough. And at some point, on a mailing list on our, student groups, one of our professors, he forwarded an email from somebody who was looking for people to work for this TV station because they were rebranding, and they were trying to bring in new people and fresh blood. And they said, like, if you want to apply, you can just send them your CV and some of your videos that you've done for university. So I did that, right? I sent it to Trofin, who eventually became the boss who introduced us, the both of us. And he called me for an interview. And I didn't actually apply for a certain position, right? I just sent my stuff and I said, like, yeah, if there's anything that I could, I told him that I would be interested in maybe documentaries or like stuff to do with reportage or things like that, because that's what I liked back then. And when I went there, I had the interview and they said, you would be fitted actually for like a field producer kind of a job, because you could go and like shoot some things, you could do like little reportages and things like that. And you would be working with a few other girls, because we're trying to make this, this new format, we're trying to bring it in. So I was like, yeah, okay, that would be good. But it wasn't something that I never actually, my dream was never to work in TV. So that's how I actually got the job.
That's hilarious.
But I'm super grateful I got it.
I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, first and foremost, because of fresh. No, I'm joking.
Right, yeah.
But it's so funny that you're saying that everybody wanted to be a director, because so I graduated journalism. So I'm coming from like communication journalism background, right? And so my thing was that I don't want to be a reporter. I don't want to just to say do the news. So for me, I was like, I went to this I went to this university, but like I did not want to just be a reporter and just say the news, because I think without understanding back then, which I understand now that I'm a big empath, I was like, I cannot, like, my life just, usually it's bad news. I was like, it's gonna drive me insane. So I just knew that I don't want to say the news. But what's interesting to me is that now I understand why maybe it didn't work out that well for me. So I didn't apply for anything. I didn't send any CVs. I didn't show anything. It just happened that the person that you mentioned, he was my teacher in the last year. So we had, it was the workshop. Like we had radio, newspaper, and TV workshop. Unfortunately, it wasn't that much hands-on. I guess that's just Romania. I don't know nowadays what they're doing, but then it was a lot of just theory. So in the last semester, I had this, and it was on the last year and last semester of my whole learning. It was the first time seeing a camera, like actually seeing a camera. Can you imagine? Like the last semester of the third year is when I was put in front of a camera. So we had this little like exercise for the class in which we were supposed to report something that is kind of boring, right? So I talked about how I went back on being on the bike because I had I still have a scar. I had a really bad accident on a bike, and then I was like, I had to go back on the bike because we were far away from home. So the only way to go back home was to go back on the bike. So I had the accident. I hurt myself. It was really painful. And then I went back on the bike. So that was my reporting. And after I made it funny because I'm a funny person to begin with. After it, he just shook my hand and he's like, "That's great." And I think that was what it took.
And then that was basically your job interview.
Without even realizing. So then during the exam, because we had all the way at the end, we had an exam. We only talked about the fact that he was like, okay, let me know. Because I was leaving town, right? So he was like, let me know when you're back in town because I want to talk to you about this. So I met him in August, basically, or July, I don't remember. And we talked for like a little bit. And then he brought me together with Raluca. Met like for lunch with Raluca, that I remember because she was the first person that I met. So I remember that. So then we started working beginning of November, right?
Yep.
I was feeling a little bit insecure because throughout my university years, we did have some teachers that they were doubling. They would have classes with us, and then they would have classes at your university. And there was always this feeling that those people who are starting TV, they are like, they know more about the business of television and so on, right? So that's one thing. Like, I don't remember the moment, but I remember the feeling that I got. That like, oh my God, so there is this girl that I have in the team, and it's like, oh, like she's above me already. I'm like, I felt insecure. But I guess it was more about my insecurities in general. So tell me, what do you remember?
I don't exactly remember the very moment that I met you. I remember that, before then, because he was telling me about the show that I'm going to work with. It was going to be a women's show, like a lifestyle thing. And I was like, oh my God, I already don't like that. And he was like, oh, it's going to be an all female team. And it's not that I don't like working with women. It's just that I don't really watch like women's lifestyle shows. I didn't used to read magazines or anything like that. I was like, first of all, I don't know much about this. I'm gonna be in like an all-female team, and I'm probably not gonna know what to talk about. I'm not gonna know like how to do my job or anything. And he just told me that like the host is gonna be like somebody who's like really good. She's a psychologist. I was like, she probably knows exactly what she's doing. And then she told me about you, that you're the producer, and like, you're like a, I think he said like former student of mine, because like you already had graduated.
Yeah, I graduated.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So I was under the impression somehow that you were going to be like this older person, you know, like, yeah, that you graduated a while ago and that you're going to be like, you know, like this like button down shirt, this woman with like, her shit together. And I was like, I guess I was also feeling insecure a little bit. I mean, sure, you're like a little bit older than me by a few months, but I thought that you were going to be like a few years older than me. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to be like really young. I'm still a student. What am I going to do? Right. And then I don't exactly remember the moment that I saw you, but when I do remember that, again, this feeling that when I saw you, I was like, she's a kid. But it was like, it was in a good way, because I was expecting this, like, yeah, like this almost like this businesswoman to come and tell me what I have to do. But then I was like, oh, she's fine. I'm going to be able to talk to her, then she's okay. And I think I remember that you were, I don't know if it was the first time I met you when I entered and you were sitting in that office that we were sharing, but I just, yeah, like, You seemed really young. You seemed really cool and casual, and I was like, "Oh, okay, this is gonna be good." But I had some expectations that you were gonna be a lot tougher and harder, and like, yeah, I don't know, just yeah, like older.
I remember that looking back, I was not dressing for the job at all.
Me neither.
Right now that when you were just mentioning the when we were mentioning your expectations, and I'm like, I couldn't have been farther than that. Like, I was just like tops, like flimsy, like I was, and I think I was like that as a student as well. So this was my first job out of, like, after I graduated. So I graduated in July or like June, I don't remember exactly when the graduation was, and then we started the work in November. So I had a lot to learn, like on the spot as in. And so the problem with me, and let me know what was one of your biggest challenges during the job, and then we can change from the job. But the thing was, like, remember how I just said that I didn't want to be a reporter and I didn't want to just say the news? After graduating, after 3 years of studying journalism and so on, I knew nothing about producing a show. And I was just lucky that the boss was also my teacher, because he said, like, I remember these words word by word. He said that if I would have been at a station in Bucharest, which is obviously the capital of our country, so where it was like back then it was the main hub, they would have fired me the second day. But then he said,
but then
he continued, but I was your teacher, so I know what you got to be taught. So I understand. I'm here to help you out. You know, so okay. I was
nice,
like,
I guess,
because I had to make like a schedule, and I made it similar to how you make it for the news. And then he was like, yeah, that's not it. And I'm like, well, that's what I know.
Right, that's what I learned in university. So
yeah, and I mean, I graduated, like I went to classes and all that. Like I was a good student, more or less, you know, like I didn't just, you know. And I did have a lot of colleagues that they started working and they stopped coming. And I was one of the very few who I was like, I'm not going to work until I'm finishing. Like, I want to be able to graduate and so on. And it turns out that the people who started working like in the second year or something like that, they were in the industry for a long time, And I was not, man. So, yeah, tell me if you have any challenges like that coming from, I mean, you were still a student at the time, as you were just saying, but if you had any, like, differences between like working, like the reality, and then what you are being taught, which again, what you were saying, like, was nothing that you were really interested in. But if you had any.
I mean, I remember we had one semester where we studied how, like, basically at TV show formats.
Okay.
And we had, like, actually our professor, he was one of the good ones. We had to, each of us had to do like a little episode that was hands-on. Basically, you were the kind of like the producer, the director for it. But it was just like, you know, I invited a friend who had a music band. We spoke for a little bit, and then I put a music video from their, one of their songs, and it was basically like 20 minutes. So that was it. It wasn't like, you know, go out in the field, do anything live. It was nothing like that. So, I didn't have, you know, the formal, like you say, how to create like a shooting schedule, how to communicate with a technical team. I remember that was one of the first, the biggest challenges for me when I started, when we were doing like live and even recordings, because they had, you know, they have the jargon in TV, and the camera operators and the guys from the technical team, like the live mixing ones, they were communicating in a way, and I had no idea what those words meant. Some of them I did, others I didn't, right? And so I had to learn and to ask, and I'm sure they thought we have no idea what we were doing, especially about me. And it's, you know, to some extent it was true. So yeah, when it came to that, when it came to like video editing, that I already knew how to do, and some stuff I did it on my own. But yeah, like when it came to like really like doing live shows and recordings and things like that, I was afraid I was going to mess it up. And I think a couple of things we did actually, like, some things that shouldn't have been, broadcast, they were. Something like in between takes, I forgot that it was there, and it was not cut. I don't know, you know, but nobody died, so it's fine. That TV station doesn't even exist anymore. So, and it wasn't because of the mistakes that I made.
No. For sure, no. I remember one of the mistakes that really sit with me. So, okay, just to explain a little bit more about the show, the main point of the show was that we had it at 7 p.m. and it was live. And the idea was to be an alternative to for people who don't want to see the news. So that's why So that's why it was like female friendly, because they were considered, not that females are not watching the news, but it was. And it was in Romania, and I guess it was everywhere, like with Oprah and everything. If I'm not saying that it was not even close to anything like that. But I'm just saying the idea was that, yes, you would have two guests per show. So like 20 minutes and 20 minutes with the commercials and so on. And then there would be more light discussion about things. And then we would have, I think, was it once a week that we had also like a chef that was coming in and making some food. I think it was, I don't know that it was every day. I feel like it was once a week.
No, yeah, it was once a week. Because it was a bit difficult to set up the set for the cooking show. Because I don't think we actually had the kitchen thing in our set. We had to kind of like borrow something from another show. But yeah. We had once a week, we had that.
Do you remember what was the first show? Like the first episode that we came in with? Like who was a guest or something?
No.
So let me see if I'm saying this, if I'm juggling your memory a little bit, because I don't know if it's like false memory or not. But I remember that we had like a bartender, and he did some flair, like some juggling with the bottles and so on. And I don't know why my memory is like that was on the first, and I'm like, that was crazy though. He was like, that's quite some movement and quite some thing, you know, to have rather than just sitting on the couch.
Maybe
it was just in the first week.
But I don't remember if it was the very first show. I really don't.
Yeah. So one of the mistakes that I've done, and it's sitting with me to the day, and it's so funny because I think to the day I'm still making this. I can tell you actually, I did a mistake like this yesterday at the job that I have, a similar mistake. I was the one in charge that I had to make sure that at the end of the show, everybody's names is like everyone who's working there plus the sponsors. Now, we didn't have much sponsors, but we did have the people who, like the companies that were giving the clothes and the shoes and everything to the people, like to the moderator.
The host, I guess.
Yeah. I did a mistake that I wrote like clothing, and then I wrote the brand name from a shoe company. So like in Romanian is like îmbrăcămintea benvenuti.
Okay.
So yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, and I got scolded for it because obviously, and that was just me truly not knowing, because I, for my longest time, I've been having my clothes like hands down from my cousins because I was the youngest, or from my brother, or I was buying stuff from like secondhand stores. So like,
right, I'm poor, okay? I don't know fashion brands.
So the single mistake that I've done, and for American listeners, probably is gonna like be Facebook moment, is that we have people coming to the event with U-Hauls. And I thought that U-Haul is how Americans are calling vans. I didn't realize that U-Haul is the name of the brand, is the brand.
Okay, the actual company.
So I was supposed to let someone know when somebody's coming with a U-Haul. And so somebody came with their own van. So I was telling them they have their own U-Haul. And the guy was like, what? Like, yeah, they have their own U-Haul. So what I'm saying, 15 years later, I'm still doing similar mistakes. So what's that?
It's their fault for naming their brands in weird ways.
But Americans tend to do this, though. They sometimes use, you know, the brand name as the, you know, so I guess it's a cultural difference, and I'm still new to understanding how things go. But moving on, back into our job, I'm curious if you remember. Oh, by the way, we have to mention that I worked there for a year. You worked a little bit longer. I don't remember how much longer after me.
I think just a few months, because I was
actually less than a year
for another show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It wasn't too long for me either. I was transferred to a different show for a while until that one got canceled as well. So,
yeah. So we had only one season, and then ours got canceled. And then, yeah. So in this 9 months, let's say, briefly. Do you remember how exactly we started to actually become friends? I remember that we did have some outings, like mostly for people's birthday. So our team was like, were we five or six women in the team?
I think if we started with five.
Yeah. So I remember we did have birthdays that we are celebrating within our team, so we would go out. But I also don't remember, how did we become close? What happened?
I don't either, actually. I don't remember the exact moment, but I will credit you for it, because I was super introverted, even to this day I am, but like back then I was, you know, crazily socially anxious. And I do remember that you were the one to like start conversations with me, to share things, to rant about random stuff, because we were sharing that office. And I think the other girls in the team, they would come and go, because one of them was the camera operator. So she wasn't there very often. She would come in, she would drop the cards, and then she would go. And then, yeah, it was the host, Raluca, but she was only there like when we had the show a couple of hours before. So you and I, we were mostly in that room together. And I guess you started like sharing your food with me and sharing stories about your life. And I just started feeling comfortable around you because you do that to people. And yeah, like I just really, I at some point I was just like, yeah, I like her. She's actually the coolest around here. And then we were also surrounded by a bunch of assholes anyway. So it was very easy to get close to you because you were standing out so much.
I have to be honest with you. My strongest friendships are usually because we were struggling we were struggling on something. Yeah. So then that really brought us together and so on. I remember though that at some point So I know where I was living at the time. Were you in a dorm at the time?
I was in a dorm. Yeah, I was in a dorm.
I remember that you even came over. Like I had you overnight. Like we had a sleepover or something at some point. You remember that I used to live over the bridge? You remember that I lived over the bridge and I was sharing the apartment with a couple?
I don't remember that. I do remember that I went to your place, but I don't know how, like, how soon after we met that was. It was.
Yeah, I don't think it was very soon, but I think within that year. Yeah. So
yeah,
then
you're right.
And then, I have never officially got fired. I just never been asked to come back. They just told me that I'm going to take a break, unpaid break. And then they never asked me to come back. And eventually the person stopped answering my calls, like my boss. He was saying like he's going to move to Bucharest and he's going to take me with him. And then he stopped answering my calls. And that year, I didn't do anything, but then I went to master's after I stopped working. I got to master's, then I went to I'm trying to remember when I got my I don't remember I'm trying to remember when I think only the last year of the master's the last year of my master's, so the second year of my master's, I was living in a dorm. But before that, I went to Denmark to afford the fucking master's.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
But then I was visiting you at the dorm then, because I remember I was, like, whenever I would come to Cluj, I would crash.
Yes.
Didn't we sleep in the same tiny bed?
I think so. Yeah, because I was sharing the room with, basically I had a roommate, so... it must have been my last year of university.
So now we are in 2009. After, like, you were starting your last year. Yeah. I was starting my first year of master's, and then I went to Denmark, and then when I came back, am I correct? I think I'm correct. Yeah, for sure. Because I know my parents said that, like, we can pay the first month, but the rest of it, we cannot afford it. So you have to find a solution. So then I went to Denmark for 2 months. But I remember that I came back from Denmark. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, I came back from Denmark and then back in January, and then we got reunited, and it was like so good. And we were with another that she became a very good friend as well, with Gabby. And do you remember, like, I think that's when we started to have, like, to meet all three of us, and we've done the picture in the picture booth thingy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, meeting once a year and have, like, the traditional picture of all three of us. What do you remember from that time?
So that was like 2009.
Like it was 2009. I came back in December. I went to home. So early, like January, February 2010.
Okay. So yeah, that was definitely my last year of university. I was struggling to do. I was trying to finish my documentary film for my graduation.
Your movie.
I call all of them. I remember that while I was editing that, but that was a bit later. It was already closer to the summer when you were a volunteer for the film festival. You stayed in my place for a bit, and I was like, that around that time, I didn't really go to that film festival. I don't even know if I spoke to you too much, because I was like super stressed out to finish the final. Edit for my documentary. Because I had been through like three or four different drafts, and my professor was like, yeah, keep working. In the end, I left like a big scene that had like a lot of swear words in it, because my main character just had like terribly foul language. She was great, but she was just a character like that. And I was struggling, like, should I leave it? Should I should I cut it? And in the end, I just like, I left it in the final cut. And my professor was like, are you sure you want to keep that? Like, everybody's going to watch it, like the entire board of professors. And I was like, yes, this is what my film is about. So I had all these like issues. It was like, yeah, it was really bad language in there. I had all these issues about, like, I remember I was really stressed out, but yeah, I know you stayed in my place during that time, and I have no idea if I was a good host or not, because I was just like into my documentary for a while. I do remember, yeah, that it was during that time when I got also a bit closer to Gabi, as well. Yeah, we would hang out together, and I guess it was that time was kind of like the closest, yeah, like early 2009 or 10, yeah, no, early 2010 was the closest I had ever been to having, female friendships like in Sex and the City, because before then I would have like one or two close friends, but it was never like, you know, like a group of friends, and you know, it was like high school, so we couldn't afford anything. It's not like we would just hang out and complain about boys or whatever, but like with you guys, it was, you know, we would actually talk a bit about, sure, it was still complaining about men, boys to men, whatever, but it was a bit more mature, and we had more independence, and you know, we were starting to understand a bit more about life, and have like, you know, some job working experience, university life, some relationships, what do we do, whatever. So it was, yeah, like I guess that period in my life was the closest, and I liked it, of course, but you know, before then there was no context, and after that, you know, everybody started having different lives and families and children, so it was kind of like, it was already different.
So I can answer to you about when you were my host. So just to explain it, to make more sense, I was again a student for university for the master's, and because it was mostly, at least in the first year, it was 100% an online master, I was studying like or different universities outside of Romania, and because of that, my exams were kind of ending in end of May. While in Romania, usually they can last even like to beginning of July,
yeah,
more or less, right? So for me, like end of May, I was kind of finishing with the exams. So I tried to be volunteering because I felt like that was my thing, the fact that I wasted my high school years and I didn't volunteer for anything and so on. So I was like, now I have the time. And I was living in a close town, like 1 hour away or 1 hour and a half away from the main city, where you were still in a dorm. So that's why I had the free time and you didn't, because again, mine was like, I was done with my classes and everything. I remember you were cranky, but I didn't perceive you as being cranky. I perceived me of being mean or stupid or silly. Like I kept having like, why am I like this? Like, why am I like this? Like, I remember that.
It really wasn't you. It was just the fact that, yeah, it was supposed to be like my graduation film, something to show off, you know, like I wanted to be a documentary director. So this is it, time to prove yourself. So it really wasn't about you. Sorry about that.
But I mean, I think we're over it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But meanwhile, I have to say that since I met you, I was already the second boyfriend at the time, so we were sharing that as well and trying to, you know, try to, it's literally like Sex in the City, trying to fucking make sense of what men and guys are doing, and like, is that a sign, is that like a subtle thing or saying something, is that like, it's just, you know, I literally just watched, because you mentioned Sex and the City, I recently just watched an episode in which Miranda is being told by Carrie's boyfriend that there's no signs, he's just not that much into it. Into
I remember
so
that. Yeah.
She has that moment was like, ah, okay, so I don't have to waste, I could have not wasted so many years of my life. And now looking back, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I was just like a convenient thing to get to, but they were maybe not that much into me. Most of my boy problems, basically. So, okay, so we have the beginning. I'm just curious then, because I'm trying to remember at some point we last touched, but before we get there, those 2 weeks I stayed at you for the festival, then I went back, and then you graduated, obviously, and then I was entering my last year of the, oh yeah, let's talk about this. I entered my last year of the master's, and talking with my head teacher, the second year I was supposed to go there once a week and be with my teacher. And I was kind of with no actual like proper role, but I was a bit the mediator between the rest of my class and my teachers, because I was probably the only one that I was able to just go there once a week, like once a week. And in that time, I talked with her and I told her that one of my biggest regrets of being, because I was like, I'm not doing a PhD. So this is it. This is my last year of ever studying. Like, that's it. That's it for me. And I told her that my one regret is that I've never went abroad on a scholarship or like a exchange or something like that. But before telling you what happened to me, tell me about you. And like, you graduated. Did you go to master's? What did you do?
I did. So for me, I was trying to go abroad for a master's in documentary film. And I was admitted to it, but I didn't get obviously enough money because it was super expensive. And the scholarship I got did not cover even like half of it. So I couldn't do it. And I remember that summer, actually, I had a conversation with my mother about it like last month. And she told me that it was one of the few or probably the only moment where she looked at me and she thought, my daughter is depressed. Because I had this, yeah, like I had this summer where I didn't know what I was going to do next, but I had this like really high hopes of like, I hadn't been admitted to Stanford. So Stanford is like, you know, like huge. And I was like, man, I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this. Like, it sounded really good. And then I had like a month to get the scholarship. They had given me a scholarship, but I needed to make somewhere around like $60,000 to show proof of funds before I could even get the visa to go study. So that was like, yeah, almost impossible. I applied for different funding opportunities. I went and spoke to a bank. They were giving like some student credits for studying, but it was no more than like $10,000. So like I still needed to get a ton of money, because basically I needed to show proof of funds for my tuition and also for my living expenses for the first year. So that was like $60,000, and like I did not have that. So eventually, you know, the deadline just passed. I wrote to them and they're like, yeah, well, sorry, we can't offer you more than half. That's what we can offer. So that's it. So I basically lost that, and I was like, what the hell am I doing now? Like, am I just gonna try to go back to finding a job in a TV station where I was just basically fired from and I didn't really like it anyway? I had this master's that I wanted to do, but I was just like, yeah, like it fell through. So I had no idea what to do for like a couple of months. I think I was depressed because I was just like, I did not know what to do with myself. So then my parents got a bit scared to see me like that. And they were like, you know what, until you figure out what you're going to do, why don't you just go back to your university and just like, you know, apply for a master's there, and then you'll figure out, because, you know, it won't be such a big deal. If you don't like it, you can change. We can try next year to go abroad, whatever. So in the end, I did that. Yeah, I did that. I also signed up for the master's degree in my former university, which was now also your university, because you had registered for a master's program. It was, I don't think it was quite the same master's, but it was, yeah, right. Because for you, with like media and something like that.
So at the time, it was called multimedia. Right now, it's called digital media arts. Okay. But yeah, we were mostly like, it was about the new media and, you know, stuff like e-government and police, like stuff like that. And then project management online and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's basically, yeah, when I started in 2010 in the fall, I started the semester. I think it was, I can't remember exactly what it was called, because I never finished it. Spoiler alert, I never finished that one. But it was something like, I don't know if it was documentaries. No, I think it was just about like, yeah, film production some sort.
Or something. And then you still tried to get a scholarship. Tell me about that. How did that one
go?
Because that's kind of affecting my scholarship, which is insane. It's so insane. So, yeah.
So, in the first semester, I realized that, yeah, like that master's was really just a compromise. The way I started, it was the same. Like, we were not really doing much. We were like five people in the program. And it was really like professors would hardly come. When they did come, it was me and another student, and everybody was just like, yeah, what is this about? We don't really care about it. So it was just, we first semester I felt like I was just wasting my time, and I was like, you know what, this is like, yeah, I was already kind of depressed for losing that big thing. I was like, I'm not gonna waste another year of my life, so whatever happens, you know, for my second semester, I think I tried to find a scholarship to go do an exchange program. So there were two exchange programs at the time. One was in Turkey that I was also actually kind of like you, I was regretting that I hadn't done it during my undergrad studies, because I had classmates who did go for a semester in Turkey and they really liked it. But for me, because I guess I was working, and also because whatever, I was afraid. I was like, oh, it's not for me. I don't know. You know, you find excuses for yourself when you're afraid. I didn't do it. And I was like, you know what, I'm not going to waste my time here. I was already kind of like, yeah, depressed. But then I also got angry because I was wasting my time. I didn't do anything. And I was like, I need to do something about this. So I applied for that scholarship in Turkey. And then I found out that there's another exchange program with South Korea. And I was like, that's even further. I'm going to apply for that one too. And I also interviewed for that one, and I got both. And I was like, oh my God, finally something's coming my way. And I was like, you know what, in Turkey, you know, Turkey is kind of close. I can, you know, to Romania. The program seemed good because, like I said, yeah, some of my teammates had been, my classmates had been there. But I was like, you know what, Korea is a lot more difficult to get to. I should go to Korea because, you know, it's like the furthest I can get to from this place. So I'm just going to go there.
What other chances do you have to go to Korea on a, you know, like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Especially when you're a student, it was expensive anyway. So yeah, I was going to stay there for a semester. So in the end, I chose to the Korea one, and my spot for Turkey got free.
And again, this is so weird because now when we're talking, I'm like, you know, I kept throughout my life, I kept saying that I'm really unlucky person. But when I look back into some things, just fell into place for me like never like before. So again, I was talking with my teacher and I was telling her that my regret is that I've never done anything like this, like I never went to a scholarship. And then she's telling me that a spot got free and I can just, like, I don't even need to interview. I don't even need to like, she's like, just write one of the papers from the previous classes that you had and give that as a paper. And that's okay. Now, the problem was that would have been for the second semester, and I was graduating. So normally in the second semester of the second year, you need to be there because you're preparing your thesis, right? So I was asking my teacher, and I said, like, how am I going to be able to do that? And she said, no, 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 you can go. And then there are people who they can graduate within the same year, but it's like a winter presentation.
Okay, so yeah, you delayed your actual graduation.
Yeah, but it's on the paper, it's still the same year. You are allowed to delay it for like for the next semester, basically, which that was January or February. I don't remember exactly. So then I was like, okay, I guess we're doing this. I still had a few money left from my Denmark experience. And I remember when I said to my parents, my dad asked me, do you need any money? And I think like, no, I think I can do this because I was supposed to get a tiny scholarship. But then the funniest, I need you to tell me also about your financing in Korea. But for me, I had to find my own accommodation. And the accommodation that I found was literally in the same apartment with the other person who was going to Turkey with Mihai, with Dragolia.
Right.
But the point was that that apartment was very close to my university, since my university was on the Asian side. And I didn't want to live somewhere else. And I didn't want to live in their dorm because they had very strict rules, like no men. Not that I wanted men into my room, but like, no, you are not supposed, like, you're not supposed to go there. You're not supposed to do that within the campus. So I was like, no. Just no. Like, now, I'm not to be offensive, but like, I was like, that's not for me. So I'm going to find myself. So I remember that my rent was 350 euros per month. And my scholarship was 390 euros per month.
Right.
But the luckiest thing happened on top of getting the scholarship from being an exchange student. So those basically 40 bucks because I had to pay my rent, right? I actually got a scholarship for like being, how do you call that, Andra? Like when you are like one of the first students in with your grades and stuff?
Oh, like
a merit scholarship. So on top of that, I got a merit scholarship in that semester. So I was like, and I still had some money left from my Denmark thing. So I'm very good at budgeting. But for my listeners, if you are interested, I did record a full episode about my experience as a student back in Turkey. So you can go ahead and listen to that one. But yeah, Andra, I'm curious for you to tell me about your budget challenges, if you had any.
For South Korea. So I mean, in South Korea was like, yeah, a lot more expensive than Romania and still is. We were two people going as exchange students from Romania to Seoul. And me and the other girl, we were given a dorm room to share. So we were sharing a room, and on top of that, so it was for free, but it was inside the dorm. And on top of that, I think we got a small stipend of a few hundred dollars per month. I cannot remember how much it was because it was back in 2011. But I remember it was, you know, I mean, it was in Seoul, it was just enough to allow us to get some food and to get maybe like some of the books that we needed. And that's it. Like, it's not like you still needed some money to... if you wanted to go out, you know, like, or if you want to take some trips. I remember there were students from other parts of the world, like Australia and the US and even Britain. And they were like, yeah, we're going to China for a week because there's like this vacation, or we're going to Japan. Do you guys want to join? And me and Raluca were like, yeah, not this time. It was very expensive for us. It was like really expensive, but you know, we had fun. We had fun anyway. So yeah, but we did have a small stipend on top of the free accommodation. So they were good about it.
And I think this is when we slowly started to drift apart.
Yes. So I think what mostly was my fault. And also I'm a terrible communicator for the most part. For most part of my life, I have been a terrible communicator. I am trying to get better now, and I hopefully I have. here I am on a podcast with you. So I guess, but the issue was, it was about the same time, right? You were in Turkey and I was flying to South Korea, and my layover, I had a 7-hour layover in Istanbul. And we said we were going to meet, that I was going to come out and we were going to meet for a little and, you know, just hang out. And then I was going to go back to catch my flight to Seoul. And I can't remember exactly what happened. I think we had a delay from like in the first flight or no, like in the second. I cannot remember. It's just, I remember I was super tired when I got to Istanbul and there was a huge line at the visa counter thing to allow you to get out, right? Like the customs to get out of the airport. And you had already been waiting for me for like 2 or 3 hours in front of the airport when I just said, like, you know what? I cannot come out. I quit this. I'm just going to go and like lay down somewhere. And I am pretty sure I did not, I don't even know if I said it on time or if I actually like, if I even had Wi-Fi to tell you this. I know I was a huge dick for keeping you waiting for so long. And then in the end, I didn't even come out. And I don't even know if I managed to tell you on time or you just waited and at some point you left and because I couldn't actually communicate with you. But yeah, like it, I remember it was, yeah, most of it was definitely because I just didn't know or I just couldn't communicate with you. And you got upset with me because you waited for so long and you had no idea what the hell is happening to me. And then I just did not show up. So basically I stood you up. And then, yeah, like the next evening I got to Korea and even my parents got super, super scared because that evening when I got to Korea, I couldn't find a way to tell them that I arrived because I needed some sort of registration in like a registration number in order to connect to the dorm's Wi-Fi. And I didn't have that yet because I arrived late in the evening and nobody was there in the office. It was just like, you know, somebody to allow us in the room, but like nobody to actually register you for it. And there was I obviously didn't have roaming back in the day, like roaming for South Korea. What was I like a millionaire? No.
Sure. No.
And only the day after, like the morning after, I found somebody to give me some coins so I could go to like a telephone that was there. And I called back to Romania to my mom and I was like, I arrived, I'm safe and sound. And my mother was almost crying and she was like, we almost called the police. You were supposed to land like 20 hours ago and you didn't tell us anything and we couldn't reach you and we just basically thought you died. And I was like, I'm really sorry. I just did not have any means to contact. So it was you, it was my parents, everybody got super upset with me. I was tired. I was in a new country. Like, I think it was the first time I had actually traveled on my own outside of the country. And I don't even know how long it took or if I even contacted you afterwards to say anything or what the hell happened. Or I was just like, yeah, she's just upset with me. So I guess I'm just going to live with this now because I can never make it better. I don't know. That's what I felt at the moment. I felt like, yeah, just everybody's upset with me and I'm in this new world that I have no idea how to handle. And that's what I remember from back then.
So what I remember is that we exchanged emails.
We did, okay.
For a little bit. Now, I don't remember exactly how long after that because I remember I had an actual folder on my Yahoo mail address called Andra and I would just put the emails to go directly there. Mm-hmm. You know that you were able to do that setting for the email to go directly there. So I remember I should have checked my emails before having the conversation to see like whatever. But if I do, maybe next time when I'm going to have you on the show. So my memory is this. The airport in Turkey, in Istanbul, that you landed at is not the one that it's in use right now. I don't think that it's in use for tourism anymore. So for me, I had to take a bus, a ferry, and then a tram and a bus.
Oh my God,
to get to the airport. And the point was that you had some clothes for me.
I did.
Yeah, you had some clothes that you were supposed to bring me. And one of them was, I think I had like a t-shirt from my ex, now guy at the time.
Did you ever get those clothes? I don't remember.
Yeah,
that at
you
all.
Gave it back to me after you came back from Korea. So it was always the funny bit that those clothes made it to Korea before, and I have never made it to Korea. So
I had forgotten about that completely.
So I was upset because I didn't get the clothes. I didn't get to see you. And I was waiting there. And you did tell me while I was there that you're not coming out.
I did.
But
okay.
it was after I waited
like
several
hours.
And I got really upset, and I didn't understand, because my understanding was that you just changed your mind. You didn't want to try to find the exit. You just went through, when you arrive in an airport, when you have a transfer, you can just transfer. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they are forcing you to go out even though you have a transfer. It wasn't
right.
The case. So from my point of view back then, it was like, she just didn't want to come out anymore. She just went for the transfer, like, part. She mm-hmm. just didn't come out. So I was like, I can't believe that she did that to me. Like, I can't. Like, I was like, this is, like, I was trying to make all sorts of scenarios and nothing would make sense.
Right.
I can't believe. Yeah. Like, this is Andra. Like, what? Why would she do that to me? Like, I took it so personally that affected our friendship for a while. I do not remember exactly how we came back to it, because how I know that we lost touch is because I don't actually know, like, I know bits of your life, but I don't know how they happened. And that's when I know that we were not in touch. So I know,
right.
I know you stayed longer in Korea, but you came back and then you went back or something like that. I know you eventually did get your another master's in UK. I know that you've been to Vietnam or things like that. But all of this is just information that is not connected to the timeline, basically, for me.
Okay, so that lasted for like a year at least then.
I think it lasted for quite a bit.
A year and a half at least, yeah. Okay, wow. We broke up, but we got back together.
Yeah, so I don't know what brought us back together. You remember?
Yeah. I don't actually. Yeah, maybe I should check the emails that we are sending, because yeah, like if I was
okay,
in
let's
Korea.
Yeah, let's think about the years. So it was 2000. Okay, let me think. 2011 when I went to Turkey, and that's when we broke up, let's say. And then I remember by October 2012. Just before me going to Tunisia, which again, for who's interested, I also have a specific episode in which I'm talking about Tunisia. I think I have two episodes about Tunisia. I was again working for a festival of some sort. I was working for comedy, whatever.
Okay.
So I was back with you or somehow, I feel like. Because I was reaching my lowest point in that relationship that I was in, with one of the worst ones that I had. And when I got the chance to go to Tunisia, I was like, F this, I'm just gonna go, and I need to take a break from everything. But I feel like I was talking to you about my issues back then. So that's why I'm saying.
I think so too. Yeah, I feel so too. I think you were telling me when you were getting ready to go to Tunisia, yes.
But then I remember when I was in Tunisia, I had a video call with you. Were you in Korea? No, please tell me.
So I was in Korea. The first time I got there, it was like February 2011, and I stayed there until July of 2011. And then I came back home for the summer holidays. And then, yeah, like I had managed in the meantime to get admitted to another master's in the UK. for documentary film this time. It was cheaper because the UK was still in the EU. So the good old times. I was, yeah, like in September 2011, I went to the UK, and then from the UK, I went to make a short documentary in Vietnam the following year. So in April of 2012. That's when I went to Vietnam for like a week to shoot something as part of the university program. And then, yeah, like the master's in the UK finished in the fall of 2012 because it was just a 1 year thing. And then after that, I think I went back to Korea for a bit because I had found somebody in Korea, and I, you know, we kind of lost touch when I went to the UK, but then we got back together somehow for some reason. And I went back to Korea for a while for a few months, actually. Yes. Until, yeah, early 2013 or something like that. In which time I worked as an English teacher, as a fashion model, and a few other things.
Oh, I remember the pictures.
It was something.
I remember at the time I would see mostly on Facebook what you were doing. Not that you were sharing that much, because I don't think you've ever been that much into sharing stuff online, or let's say not back then. But I remember that I saw something about Vietnam on your Facebook, and I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
And you didn't know about it, okay.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. So obviously we lost touch because, I mean, wasn't that quite an experience, right?
Yeah.
And you would have shared it with your bestie, but we weren't at the time. Now, what I remember, and I'm going to probably jump 1 year more because, again, I don't remember that well. So I went to Tunisia again, as I was saying, October 2012, and then I came back in April of 2013. And then I kept struggling to get a job to the day. So I was working for the Transylvania International Film Festival, but then also their smaller... they started having smaller film festivals throughout the country. So for the summer, I was kind of going with them. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing that. But then in 2014, that's what I'm saying, like I'm going to jump a little bit. In 2014, I got a job in Bucharest. So I moved to Bucharest.
Right, yes, I remember that.
And I remember that I texted you. I'm trying to remember if it was before that or was it in 2015. So I don't remember. I know it was like July or August, but I don't remember if it was 2014 or 2015. Maybe 2014, in which I just like send you a message or an email. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, Andra, I know we're drifting apart, but like if you ever need to talk with me or like anything, just so you know, I'm here. I was going through a phase in which I was trying to make sure that the friends that I have, they know that they have me as their friend. So I remember I had a few people that I let them know, like I just want to, like I remember I texted a friend and I was just thanking them for their friendship. So I don't know what was going on into my life, but like, so I remember that I did that. And I think that was the one that truly brought us together. So I think we were on and off since that fallout. And then let me know if you remember anything differently than that.
I do remember that. Yeah, you did send me a message. I don't actually remember what you said, but I remember that it was a time where I felt, okay, she actually wants to hear from me again. Because before then, I have this issue where I feel like I don't want to bother people. And I had been living with under the impression that, you know, like, yeah, you were just kind of disappointed and upset with me. And you're like, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, like, we're going to keep talking as like acquaintances, like, yeah, how's life? Oh, I've seen you're there. Like, how are you? Things like that. But like nothing super close because you were just not interested in that anymore. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just not gonna like push or do anything. You know, maybe I could have definitely been like, hey, I'm really sorry. Let me just explain. I apologize for keeping you there. This is what happened. But I just felt like, you know, like I said, I was a terrible communicator. And I just felt like, yeah, she doesn't want to really talk to me more about to talk more with me than just this, you know, like casual thing from time to time. But when I do remember that you at some point you messaged me something like that, which made me feel like, yeah, actually she does want to be in touch with me. She wants to get close again. So yeah, that I do remember. It must have been 2014, if not earlier, for sure, because I think in 2014 I was already back in Romania by then. Yes.
Okay. So that was my memory. I was moving to Bucharest, and I was in Bucharest for like 5 months, or for like 9 months or so, and then I moved back to Cluj, and I think slowly and surely we got reconnected. We've already been talking for over an hour, I think. So I still have a lot more to talk about, but I think it's time to end this episode. So I just want to end on a happier note. From our entire friendship, it doesn't need to be only about the years, like the beginning that we talked about, or if you want to focus on that, however, if you like. I'm curious if you can mention like one memorable experience you had with me that really made you be like, ah, we're really in tune, like we are really good friends or something like that. Also, I have to mention before you answer that we are very different people, and we realized yeah. later in our friendship that we are just complementing each other, but we have so many like different tastes in most of the things, like most of the things. So yeah, if you have any memorable experiences that you can think of.
I was going to say that, yeah, for the most part, I think we are, yeah, we have different tastes in so many things. And that is good, though, because I feel like you expose me to so much stuff that I wouldn't be exposed to otherwise. And you also give me a reality check from time to time. To me, because I don't exactly remember when it happened, but I remember I had this feeling because, like I said, I was so introverted. And I had a moment back in university when, you know, I had some of my really good friends from school, from high school, you know, I had been friends with them for a long time. But when we got to university, we went to different universities, and it just felt like, you know, everybody was just discovering new things, new people, whatever. And we would still meet and talk, but it felt like, you know, we are disconnecting a little because everybody was doing their own thing, discovering themselves amongst these new people, these new contexts. And I can't actually remember what it was. It must have been some like romance thing, some failed relationship. I don't know. But I just felt like I didn't want to talk to somebody from, you know, like a friend of mine from like 10 years ago. I wanted to talk to you. I felt like, yeah, you know what, like this time I feel like Alina would get it, or like Alina would be the person. She's the person that I want to talk to right now when I'm upset and like heartbroken or whatever. And that's when I knew, like, yeah, I think she's becoming like my best friend. Because, like I said, I had a few good friends, but I can't actually remember what it was, but yeah, it was a feeling that, yeah, like right now I just want to talk to her about this. And it ever since I've felt like, yeah, you've been very good at listening, even if you don't fully understand it, but you're very good at listening and just like, you know, relating and being empathic. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about you, that you don't judge. You don't necessarily, I really like that. You don't necessarily have to have an opinion about everything. You can just listen and be like, yeah, okay, tell me whatever you feel you need to tell me, but I don't necessarily have an opinion about it, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. So in my case about you, I think because of our friendship and because of how we had like ups and down, I think it was a bit of a reminder in a way for myself that I might have, like, so I tend to put people on a pedestal, idolize people. And then when they are not at my expectations, then I get mad, but they were not supposed to be there to begin with. So I tend to do this quite often. And I think with your friendship, I learn how to appreciate the person for who they are and stop trying to make them be someone else and just be grateful for who they are. And, you know, like, as you were saying, like sharing things and so on, I can fully appreciate that, not wanting to change you, because that's not how a friendship should be. That's not what it should be about, you know. And then obviously we can grow together and we can understand things about each other and we can expose each other to different things, but not to have it like on the back of my head, the back of my head, that no, you need to be like this because you need to fit into this, my idea of how a friendship should work, right? So you kind of challenged a little bit my way of understanding, but for the better, for like the very better, like really for the best.
That's good. Then I'm happy to hear that.
So, but yeah, I can't pinpoint to a thing. I don't have to say though that I like the fact that I can see that you are a kind person. Like, and I mean, now you are like, in my opinion, to the extreme with how kind you are to animals and so things like this. But then the fact that you were appreciating nature and appreciating the little things, and not, as you were saying in the beginning of the conversation, that you were scared about, I'm going to be in a female only team and it's going to be like maybe too shallow. I think you did not say that word. I'm saying it. But I think in a way it was like that. So then to be able to connect with you and understanding that we both like the little things, we both can appreciate, you know, these small moments that make a life. I think that's also what really got us back together and really kept us together. And again, I also think that, I mean, you're the best listener. I talk way more than you. So you're the best listener, Andra. Like, I listen, but like, you listen. And I appreciate the fact that we can come to each other and really try to make sense of things. And because we have had different experiences, to kind of lean on each other, like, how do you see it? Because you're not that in the problem. So give me your perspective. And I appreciate that, that we can really... Because you know what's funny? Basically, that moment in my mind was like, so I cannot depend on Andra. Like, I cannot fully trust her that when she says that she's going to do something, that's going to happen. You know, that's how I felt back then.
Right.
But now I'm like, I can 100% depend on Andra. Like, even if she's might be slow, because again, time zone, and I mean, you have your own problems and issues and so on, but like, I can 100% depend on you. And it's something that, it's so weird now that you think about it, right? Because that's what kind of drift us apart, but then this is again something that is bringing us together, right?
Yeah it's true. Well, and I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Yeah, it wasn't definitely my intention. It was just like a context of a lot of factors that just like defeated me that day. And afterwards,
just,
I guess,
just to make sure that I'm being understood, I'm pretty sure I made you feel bad a few times too. I feel like I'm not, like, I don't want to see him, like, I feel like I haven't been the kindest to you throughout our friendship either. So just to be completely honest about it. So I was planning to talk a little bit more about our friendship in general, but I guess I got quite into details this time around. For my listeners, my plan is to have Andra once a month. And as soon as we finish talking about our friendship, because the point was, you know, to introduce yourself and then also to see where we're standing and how we got together to be friends and so on. My point was that we will talk about our experiences and how we see the world, because again, I live in New York, she lives back in Romania. We both travel quite a bit. And so it's not only going to be about our friendship, but probably the next episode is going to be a continuation of the friendship in general. Like now we kind of pinpoint in details, but we will see. So yeah, I think it's way over 1 hour. But yeah, this is kind of what I had to say. If you want to say anything before we finish, Andra, please go ahead.
Yeah, it was very good. I'm actually surprised that I remembered some of these stuff, because I hadn't actually, I hadn't been thinking about them. And I feel like some things we never discussed, like, yeah, how basically how you felt when we were like not talking to each other and how I felt and why and so on. It was just like, yeah, okay, let's just leave that in the background and pretend that nothing happened and be friends again. So I kind of, that's kind of how it happened. But now that we discussed, it's actually, it feels good. But yeah, we never for 15 years, or what, well, not 15 years, but since 2011, right? For 12 years now, we haven't actually spoken about this, which is weird. We talk about everything, but we haven't spoken about this thing.
I didn't do it on purpose, you know, like I wasn't going to keep this subject for like when I'm going to, like, no, it just kind of came like that.
No, but it was good. It was good that it did.
I agree. So to our listeners out there, if you have long, long, long friends, maybe just bring up some things from the past, because it can be like, I feel better. I feel really good about it. Like, it really makes me feel good that we were able to talk about this. Also coming from the place that we are coming right now. Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's obviously not an issue anymore. It hasn't been for years, but yeah, it's good to be able to discuss about it. Why not?
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for giving me so much of your time. I know your time is a bit more precious than mine right now.
It's fine. I just need to get back to work.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to the next episode in about a month.
Thank you. Me too.
This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening and for reviewing Traveling Inside Out. If you want to get in touch with me, send an email to podcast@alinaigrad.com. And remember, your outer journey begins with inner work. Until next time, bye.